Greetings, everyone. Hope you're having a pleasant Sabbath day. Hope all is well for you, that you had a good week. Brethren, do we have things we moan and groan about and complain about all the time? Sure we do. It's easy. It's easy to do. And there's just so much to complain about, isn't there? You know, there's the job, the government, taxes, inflation, the weather. When it happens, right now we haven't got much to complain about the weather, really. A little more rain might be nice. But, you know, the car, the dog, the cat, the hamster, the weasel, the giraffe. Well, if you have a giraffe in your living room, you probably do have something to complain about. But, you know, it goes on and on. The aches, the pains, the year 2020. But, you know, I want us to consider something. Yes, there's always something we can complain about, grumble about. Have you ever heard the phrase, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade? I'm sure that most, if not all of us, have heard that phrase at one time or another. I know there's always going to be that special someone out there that doesn't like lemonade, okay? But that's you. Just play along with me for a minute here, please, okay? So instead of spending our time and effort grumbling about all of the lemons in our life, we might consider making lemonade and then being thankful for that lemonade. The title of my message today is Not Grumbling, But Gratitude. Not Grumbling, But Gratitude. Fundamentally, this whole mindset is about, this is all about attitude and how we're inclined to look at things in life. How do we look at what unfolds in our lives? Now, I've had to ask myself this at times. You know, must there always be something to complain about? Would it not be more enjoyable to consider the blessings in our lives, the good things? Spend time, effort, and energy thinking about those things and being thankful for them. Let's look at some definitions here of thanks, of gratitude. Thanks, according to the Webster's New World Dictionary, is an expression of gratitude. An expression of gratitude. Giving thanks. In one dictionary, I saw the word thank, meaning to give one's thanks to. That's useful. Yeah, that's useful. Okay. Lexico.com, which is kind of Oxford's online dictionary, defines the word gratitude as the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. I kind of like that definition, because it makes me consider God's incredible kindness towards us. You know? And how we should appreciate it and be grateful for it. To be kind ourselves in return. And finally, the word thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Making it active. Okay? So thanksgiving, again according to Lexico.com, is the expression of gratitude, especially to God. And to give an example here, he offered prayers in thanksgiving for his safe arrival. So, thanksgiving being an expression of gratitude like that. You know, the word thanks is mentioned 74 times in the New King James Version of the Bible, and the word thanksgiving is mentioned 32 times. A little word trivia there, but those larger numbers at least tell me that it's important to God. The more something is mentioned in the Bible, the more it's repeated, the more important it is to God. He wants the message to get across to us. So, brethren, the issue of gratitude is indeed important to God. And he hopes that we remember where all that we know, all that we have, all that we enjoy, where it all came from. And then our hearts can be filled with joy and thanks for these things. So, where does our heart and mind stand in this? Where does our attitude stand in this? Are we predominantly kind of a sour grapes person, kind of a sour grapes state of mind kind of thing? Let's begin in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15. Yes, that's what my glasses tell me. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15. I have a bigger Bible, so hopefully I'm not going to lean into the microphone quite so much. I can see the print a little better here. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Brethren, are we afflicted? Do we look down on everything? Do we exist in a kind of a discouraging state of mind? Do we have a grumbling heart? Or do we have a grateful, meaning in this verse, gracious heart, that word merry? Do we have a thankful disposition? Can we look past the grumps of everyday life and be of a merry heart? Again, considering that attitude. Let's look for a moment at ancient Israel and how they saw things in their lives. How did they look at their lives, what was going on in their lives? Now, it didn't take long after leaving Egypt before they started getting grumpy and complaining about all manner of things. Seemed like something was always wrong. In Exodus 14, verse 11, we'll just read a couple verses here. We're going to read a couple passages out of Exodus just to give us a little idea of how they saw their lives at the time they were in. Exodus 14, and verses 11 and 12 to begin with. Exodus 14, verses 11 and 12. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." You see, no remembrance of their release from slavery and how happy and excited they were for that to happen, or their release from the rigorous labor that the Egyptians had put them under. No remembrance. They thought it would be better to go back. Exodus 16 and verse 3. Exodus 16 and verse 3, just a couple pages up. Exodus 16 and verse 3. "And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" Again, no remembrance, except for the food, what they thought was really good food back there. Exodus 17, just across the page in my Bible, Exodus 17 and verse 1, and another example. Exodus 17 and verse 1, "Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink." Verse 2, "Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' So Moses said to them, 'Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?' And verse 3, "And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, 'Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?'" Again, no remembrance of what they left behind. No gratitude at all for what they were miraculously saved from. Only complaining about what they didn't have and about what they wanted. And all of Numbers 11 pretty much could be called, you know, Israel Complains, if there was a heading over that chapter in the Bible. Numbers 11 and verse 4. Numbers 11 and verse 4 for one final example here. I think we're getting the idea, though. Numbers 11 and verse 4. We'll read through verse 6. Numbers 11, verse 4. Sure enough, at the top it says, the people complain. Now, Numbers 11 and verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, something they didn't have and they desperately wanted. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Verse 5. We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic, all those wonderful things. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. All this miraculous manna that we're so sick and tired of. We want fruit. We want vegetables. We want meat. What's the attitude being conveyed here? It's pretty obvious. It's not just an attitude of complaining and grumbling, but it's gross ingratitude for the miracles that God had given them up to that point. They're going, oh, if only we had this instead of that. If only we were there instead of here. Is this us sometimes? Is this me sometimes? Are we like them at times? You know, is something always wrong in our lives? Do we have an intense craving that has to be satisfied? You know, it's like, oh, if only I didn't have to deal with my coworkers. Oh, if only people would learn how to drive. Oh, if only I had a nicer car or a nicer house or a nicer boss. Whatever. Now, understand, I'm not making light at all of the troubles and trials that we go through, because they can indeed be serious and many times are. We have difficulties in our lives. But how do we face them? How do we face them? How do they work in our minds and our hearts? You know, what is our life attitude, if you will? Is something always wrong and we're always grumbling? Or are we working toward what is wrong to see the light? You know, working past the wrong. Seeing the good and the positive and the uplifting in our lives. And as a result of that, being able to see the one who makes all those good things possible. Do we, on a regular basis, see the good things that we can be thankful for? You know, one striking thing about Israel and all of this, does it say anywhere that they were ever thankful for anything? I couldn't find anything myself. They weren't even thankful for the fact that in all the years of their wandering, their sandals never wore out. You know, I'm doing pretty good if I can get a year out of my sandals. They did really well. They did really well with the sandals. That in itself, though, not to mention the manna, you know, the special protection. I mean, miraculous food from God coming down from heaven and sustaining them. A miracle. A miracle. But they never showed any gratitude to the one who created them, who loved them, who protected them, who guided them. And what became of them? We see that in Hebrews 3, verses 9 through 11. I'll just refer to it. But it's paraphrasing Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11. They had a spirit of complaining and of disobedience and not gratitude. And God said, they will not enter my rest. Ultimately, God disowned them. They became separated. They were allowed to go into captivity. And they were ultimately scattered. They wouldn't obey God, wouldn't even remember God's commands, and nor were they thankful for his incredible provision. You know, God makes it clear in the example of Israel, preserved for us, that he does not enjoy grumbling, mumbling, or complaining. He does not enjoy it when it's made the focus of life. You know? He does not like it because it goes against his nature, his good nature, his nature of joy. It's not good for us because we need to put on the nature of Christ, the same nature. He wants us to focus on the good things that he brings into our lives and his wonderful way of life in obedience and thanksgiving to him. Well, what about things we don't complain or grumble about, but just take for granted? You know, we do that. I'm amazed sometimes at just how easy it is to take things for granted. And it's unfortunate. But anyway, like many others, I have been working from home, and recently I was just sitting in my office working away on my laptop, and suddenly the screen on that laptop froze. It wouldn't do anything. It wasn't updating. So I'm going, okay, what's going on here? Must be the remote desktop. That's the program I go in to enter to my computer at work. And I'd been having some trouble with it lately. And I thought, well, maybe that's what it is. So I messed with it a little bit, but no, it was more than that. Our internet had just quit. Our DSL link up and died. No signal, went away. Bang, just like that, in the middle of my workday. No, that can't happen now. I remember thinking, I have to work. I'm on the clock. But nothing I did could change the fact that the link was down. Something I hardly ever gave a thought to. You know, the internet, it's always been there. Always there. And suddenly it wasn't. It suddenly disappeared. And I ended up in a panic. Well, I can say with certainty that I was very grateful when it came back up 5 hours later. It's amazing how the attitude can change. What if, let's say, God took back all the air to himself? That'd certainly make breathing an interesting exercise, wouldn't it? It's so easy to take it for granted sometimes. You know, it's so easy to take things for granted when we grumble and complain about what we perceive is wrong or what we perceive we don't have. It's easy to forget to be grateful for what we do have. We must be grateful for what God has blessed us with. There will be no blessings from God, you know, like a better job, for example, if we do not appreciate what he has already given us, what he has blessed us with now. If we're realistic and we take a good hard look at things, even all the issues and the trials in our lives, if we really look at it, we'll probably see that there is more to appreciate than there is to grumble about, really. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of attitude. Just before the 2015 Feast of Tabernacles on Maui, Mr. Bill Bradford gave a wonderful sermon called An Attitude God Can Bless. And he was speaking about and looking at the attitude of being thankful, reflecting on David, a man after God's own heart, and how David approached troubles and difficulties. And this was the attitude that he had. He had an attitude of gratitude, as Mr. Seforik always used to say. So how do we thank God? How do we give thanks to him? How do we show our gratitude and our appreciation to him for all that he has done and is doing in our lives? Well, for one, we certainly can do so in prayer. We can definitely thank God in prayer. We can give thanks to him in prayer for something God has done for us. For example, intervention in a situation, deliverance from danger or trial, blessings, you know. King David was a classic example of a thankful man, as I was just talking about with Mr. Bradford's sermon. Just one example in Psalm 69, verses 29 and 30. Just a very short example here. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, so I'm going to put this Bible down. There we go. Psalm 69, verse 29 in the NLT. I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. You know, instead of just fretting about his problem and just stewing on it, well, what was wrong? He was in trouble. He took the problem to God in prayer. And he made it clear that he would show his thanks and appreciation to God for his intervention. You know, and we know this is not the only example of this in the Bible. It's filled, especially where David was concerned. Here's a very thankful man, very thankful man. And as we just touched on in verse 30 of this example that we just read, we can also thank him with praise. We can praise him in thanksgiving, give him thanks, honor, and worship through the singing of hymns, through praise. Hymn number 79 in our hymnal is called His Mercy Never Fails, and it's essentially from Psalm 136. What I want to do now is go ahead and read through Psalm 136, okay? The way this particular psalm worked, the priest or leader would recite the first part of each line in this chapter, and then the people would respond with the second part. So the priest or the leader would say the first part, and the people would respond with the second. So Psalm 136, I'm going to go ahead and go through the whole thing. I'm just going to read the priest's part after verse 1, because it's all the same thing. It says, I'll just start with the first verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That's the priest part. And then the people would say, for his mercy endures forever. And that mercy is speaking of God's kindness. So, verse 2. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone. To him who alone does great wonders, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, to him who laid out the earth above the waters, to him who made great lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. It's speaking of God's creation. Mr. Kester covered that in his sermonette last Sabbath. We can be thankful for his creation. And that is upheld in this song here, in this hymn. To continue, verse 10, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. So this is about deliverance. Deliverance from the slavery and the brutality of Egypt. Deliverance from their idolatry that they were exposed to. And then the last part speaks of God's protection, his leadership, and his fulfillment of the promises to his people. So starting now in verse 16. To him who led his people through the wilderness, to him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his servant. He remembered us in our lowly state and rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Again, this hymn expresses thanks, gratitude, appreciation for all of these miraculous and incredible things God did for the people of Israel. And he's still doing many of them for us today. Things that enrich us and benefit us greatly. Consider also that thankfulness is a critical element of worship. Our worship of God. As we heard about from Mr. Harmon again last Sabbath, he spoke of worship, how important it is. True worship of God has to include gratitude to him. Gratitude for all things. For one thing, without him, we wouldn't be here, would we? Nope. We must fear, as in revere and show awe, be in awe of our God. And that certainly can come through our sincere appreciation of and our gratitude for him. And we can show our gratitude most certainly by validating his word in our minds and hearts by our doing his word, by obedience to him. Yes, Father, I am thankful for your instruction and I will follow it. We can also thank God through our offerings, giving back but a small portion of what God has blessed us with and entrusted us with. We're commanded to give an offering on the three holy day seasons of the year, you know, the spring, Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, and the fall holy days, the Festival of Trumpets, Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. We're commanded to give an offering at those times, as it is explained in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, and other places in the Bible. But with what heart are we doing this? With what heart are we giving these offerings and any other offerings we give? You know, we could remember the examples of Abel and Cain, how their offerings were received by God. One was well received and one was not. And remember what we're told too in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. I'll just read it for you here. Let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So not with grumbling, not with complaining, but with good cheer, with willingness, one meaning of this word, and one could say, with thanks. With thanks. Philippians 4 and verse 6, we're very familiar with this section of passage, but I want to read it again. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 8 ultimately. Several of us have heard these many times. As soon as I can find it. I'm using my wife's Bible, and all the chapters and verses and books must all be in different places. Yeah, that's how I'm going to look at that. Okay, Philippians 4 and verses 6 through 8. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Okay, no worrying, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's a component of it. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, that worry and anxiety will be taken away. If we bring this before God, whatever our issue is, with thanksgiving. And he will give us peace. He will give us peace, peace of mind, peace of spirit. You know, it's about our outlook, our attitude, the spirit within us. You know, of what is that spirit? What is in our hearts and minds? Is so very important to God. Finally, verse 8, Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, whatever things are just, whatever is pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything great or praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Here's this verse here. There's an opportunity for gratitude here. We get to see and know what the good things are, what we should desire. This is good direction. It's good for mind and heart. Fixing the mind on what's right and good and lovely, it gives us all manner of hope, all manner of joy. It gives us opportunity for thankfulness, opportunity for gratitude. When we see the results of these things working in our lives, that's come from God. We know that. And we can most certainly be thankful for it. We can be thankful for all the abundant blessings he gives us each and every day. So what other things can we be thankful for? I'm sure we can think of many things. Let's just ponder a few. We saw many things in that hymn, Psalm 136. Many things right there. There are many things every day in our lives that we're given, that we're blessed with. You know, Jesus Christ always gave thanks for the food he was given. We see that many times in the New Testament. One example I want to focus on is in Luke chapter 22, and we read this during the Passover, and this happened at the Passover dinner with his disciples. Luke 22 and verses 17 through 19. Luke 22, verses 17 through 19. So we're breaking into the Passover dinner here. Then he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You know, he had a lot on his mind that night. A lot on his mind. All the events that were going to take place before he was brutally tortured and crucified. And yet he was an example to his disciples and to us. In spite of all that on his mind and what was going on, he made sure to take the time and effort to remember where that food came from, and to express appreciation and thanks for it, for what they were about to receive. He gave thanks to his Father for what they were given. Do we? Do we remember and are careful to thank God for our food and our meals that we receive? I know personally in the past, it can be taken for granted, but we have to remember God is the one that feeds us both physically and spiritually. We must be thankful for that. You know, my wife and I recently had a unique opportunity for thanks. It seems like our car has picked this last month, July, for all the sensors to go out on it. Well, I think there might have been one or two that didn't. But several of the sensors went out on it. Certain other parts of the engine started leaking and quitting. Just several things at the same time. Now, I could have grumbled about this, about all the sudden malfunctions and parts not working and having to put in time and effort and elbow grease to fix them all. But really, this has been a blessing in a way. It made me reflect on something. All these things happened at once, and yet somehow we had the money to cover everything. It was all taken care of, all paid for. If it had happened 6 months ago, it would have been a different story. God has been most merciful to us in this matter. You know, I can't just let that go as mere coincidence. I just can't. God intervened, as I know he does with many of you in experiences that you have in your lives. It's yet another opportunity for us to praise God and express gratitude to him for taking care of us in so many ways. We are reminded constantly and continuously to remember our God and his blessings in his word, to rejoice and give thanks, to be sure that we do not forget all his benefits, as is explained in Psalms 103 and verse 2. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, I'll just go ahead and read this for you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 says, "Rejoice always." You know, have a merry state of being. Rejoice always. "Pray without ceasing. In everything," verse 18, "give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Learn to be appreciative. Learn to be gracious. Learn to have thanks. Show gratitude to our God. In everything, give thanks. Everything means everything. Good, difficult, whatever it might be. We're all aware of what James said about trials. You know, he said, count it all joy. We can actually thank God for those as being educational. Sometime back, a minister was discussing how he had many health issues going on. He was facing many health trials, and it was taking a toll on him and on his peace of mind. And he said he stopped and said he was grateful for him, for them. Now, why was he grateful for them? He was grateful for them because those things made him stop running around, he said. It was as if God had told him to shut up, sit down, and read your Bible. That's good advice for any of us. He said it was the best thing that had happened to him. It caused him to take the time to go deeply into God's Word. It also caused him to realize with appreciation and gratefulness what God had done for him by making him stop, take a breath, and say, wait a minute. Look at this. Look at this. See what I'm doing. I just say wow to that. Could we do that? Could I do that given the circumstances? You know, health trials are not small potatoes. They're not. It'd be easy to be grumpy, upset, and complain about what we're going through. Again, I don't want to treat anything lightly. I don't. You know, people who are suffering, going through issues and trials, that can be very troubling and very perilous. But depending on how we view these things, they may also be vehicles for thankfulness and appreciation to God. You know, as the best father anyone can have, God loves us enough to want to teach us. And we have these things happen for our ultimate benefit and often for the benefit of others. We've talked about that before. One of the points that Mr. Bradford made in the sermon I referred to earlier on attitude was that oftentimes we need something to fight against to help us develop the character that God is looking for. One of those aspects of that character is thankfulness. I'm grateful for that. What else can we be grateful for? You know, what little things we see every day? Lots we can think about. Mr. Kester brought up God's creation, and we talked about it earlier. We can be thankful for those little points of light, the planets, and the stars in their orbits, and all the miraculous things God has made for us to behold and be in awe of. My wife's garden certainly qualifies there, too. She loves working in it. She loves seeing how things grow and develop. And she's thankful. She's thankful. I think we'll be able to see, you know, as we think about that, that we have been given so many wonderful things, joys too numerous to mention, really. And one of the best is being set apart for a purpose. Being called out of this world to live a different life, to learn how to be like our Creator, and to one day become a son or daughter of our Creator. What a thing to be thankful for. Potential membership in the God family. So, yeah, there are some things in life I can't fix. There are things we have to deal with in everyday life. But I can put my focus where it belongs and appreciate and be thankful for the blessings I have. We can all do that. We can all do that. We can put our focus on the things that will come to those who obey God. We can work toward those things for those who obey God and keep His commandments. There will always be something that we could grumble or complain about. Something that will cause us sadness or upset. But Jesus told His disciples to be of good cheer. John 16 and verse 33. John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. And don't we? We do. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We can be of good cheer because his overcoming the world means that he will return. As mentioned previously, we are told to be thankful, to be grateful, to express appreciation for all things. We can certainly be grateful for that. Thankfulness is something that God wants us to put on. God wants us to be thankful. Thankfulness is a way of give, as Mr. Armstrong liked to talk about the way of give. It takes a focus off of ourselves and gives it to another. When we express gratitude to God or to one of our fellow brethren or somebody in the world, we serve them. We serve them by giving of our being, giving of our time and effort, and acknowledging them in love, showing them that we are genuinely thinking about them and that we're appreciative of them and anything they might have done. We can't let the grumps and the complaints rule over us. We can't let them become the way we see life. We can, however, and should, take those difficulties to God, as David did. Those things that are coloring our perception of daily life in that way, ask God to help in dealing with them, to put them in their rightful place, and for help in seeing the good things, the joyful things that we read in Philippians 4 and verse 8. To make us aware of them again, and to thank him for those good things when we do see them. Colossians 3 and verse 15 tells us, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called to in one body, and be thankful." And there is so much to be thankful for, isn't there? Both infinitesimally small and infinitesimally huge. Runs the whole gamut. You know, we remember the miracle of our calling and how God has so patiently and lovingly worked with each and every one of us. The miracle of things spiritually revealed to us, the excitement when we discovered them. It puts all our little worries and complaints, our grumblings, to shame when we think about them. There's so much waiting for us. So much that God has promised for us. God has given us the ultimate sacrifice, his son, that we may share in that ultimate gift, eternal life. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." In that one section of passage is something priceless. It's a gift and a blessing to us. We most certainly need to show appreciation and gratitude for that to our God. So next time, brethren, instead, when we're feeling like grumbling or we're complaining about something, let's stop and instead think about all the things that we can be grateful for in our lives and outside our lives. If you want, make and keep a list. You know, lists are good. They help you remember things if you don't lose them. Then the next time you go to pray, tell God, tell him of all the things that you put on your list that day. And thank him for them. Pray about the things that trouble you, and be grateful to our God who listens and answers. He hears us when we talk to him. Let us make room in our minds, in our hearts, for that peace of God. Let us show our Father in heaven, the one who not only made us in his image, but but gave us a Savior, gave us part of Himself, His Spirit. He gave us a reason and a hope for being, and gave us all that we have. Let us show Him not a grumbling attitude and spirit, not complaining, not surliness, but genuine gratitude for all He has given us, all He has done for us, and all He has promised us.
Thank you very much.